All right, would you read with me this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 22, Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good is use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, put away from you, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, we talked about last week putting away the old man, and we've discussed the fact that the old man, the new man, have to do with a mind. As in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there is a constant use of the word spirit, and in the end, he said that we have the mind of Christ. The implication being that to have the spirit of Christ has to do with having the mind of Christ. We've got the mind of Christ in a Bible, so to speak. And as we study the Bible and take in the word of God, keeping the word of God in us mentally, then we're conforming to the image of Christ. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell. I used the illustration last week of the fact that Adam was created in the likeness of God. God said, let us make man in our image. Adam was God's created man. Jesus Christ was not the creation of God. Jesus Christ was born of God. And in our original condition, our original state, we bore the image of Adam out of the garden. In other words, Adam, the created man, had a perfect mind. He was perfect in every respect except for the fact. Now, there was a thing about him that was not perfect in that he had to grow. He had to grow mentally. That is, he had a perfect mind, and yet he didn't know all things. And we know that he didn't know all things by the fact that God had to teach him some things. He said, you're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you'll die. He said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden. And there are certain things that he taught Adam, which means that even though he had a perfect mind, he was made in the image of God, he still had to be taught. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, are like Adam in his original creation. We are a new creature. As in 2 Corinthians 5:17, as in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right? As Adam was in his original creation, we are in the new creation, that is, in salvation. As Adam was in his fall, so we were born in our original condition. Hence, we are like Adam when we're born. That's the old man. We're like the original Adam when we're saved. That's the new man. Put off the old, put on the new. Well, how about the new birth? Jesus Christ was born again. That is, he was born. God begot him from his mother's womb. And then he was not perfect in that condition, and I realize that some people could just really go to town with a statement like that, but turn please to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. You know, people have a hang-up on the word perfect, as they do on condemnation. The Bible said there's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. And everybody classifies condemnation there with eternal damnation in hell. The passage says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So they say, okay then, if a man walks in the flesh, he's going to go to hell. If he walks in the spirit, he'll go to heaven. they take that word condemnation and just use it any way they want to without studying the context around it. Same way with perfect. If the Bible says that we are perfect, they say that that means you're sinless. And yet it has nothing to do with being sinless or not sinless. Notice in verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus Christ is not perfect in his original condition. He was sinless. He was the sinless, and in one sense of the word, perfect Son of God. But he wasn't perfect in every sense. While that's very clear to anybody who ever studied their Bible, Jesus Christ could get tired. He could get hungry. He could get thirsty. Jesus Christ did not know everything that went on in every condition around the world. Of course, he knew what was in man, and people take that to say, well, he knew in every man, he knew every thought in every man, and so forth. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I believe that Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and on and on. I don't believe he was perfect as a man. I believe he was man. And the Bible refers to him as being the heir to the throne of David. The Bible clearly defines as in the flesh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of Adam, and so forth. Jesus Christ was not perfect. He was sinless, and that's true. And he was perfect in a sense of the word, but there's another sense where he wasn't perfect. He was made perfect through suffering. That is, Jesus Christ could die. He died on Calvary. God begot him from the grave, and in resurrection, Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of God. He is perfect. All right? In resurrection, we shall be like him in his resurrection. We were like Adam in our original condition, the old man. We were like fallen Adam. When we trust Christ, we are a new creature created by God. Mentally, we have a perfect mind. But we have to learn some things with that perfect mind. And we are created as the original Adam was created by God. And isn't it fascinating the way people today just absolutely, you talk about being a new creature, and the first thing they want to tell you is about the new birth. And most people know so little about the new birth. We shall experience the new birth. We who are new creatures spiritually are going to be born again physically. And we're going to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ physically by resurrection or the rapture or whatever, our vile bodies changed and made like unto his glorious body. Now, he said, put off the old man. That is, put off that mental man that was there in Adam. The Bible says that since man didn't like to retain God in his knowledge, God gave him over to a reprobate mind. Men have a reprobate mind. The Bible says that the mind of the flesh cannot please God. You can't please a God with, this mind of the flesh. The Bible said the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. Already said, put off the old man. All right? We're to put on the new man. What is the new man? It's that which is created in the image of God. It's a mentality from God. And we're to grow in that sense. We're to gain knowledge consistently as we study the Word of God. All right? This new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. The association with the old man has to do with lying. The association with the new creation has to do with truth. Wherefore, putting away lying. Notice the comparison in Colossians chapter 3. By the way, the doctrinal walk of the Christian, the doctrinal practical walk of the Christian is in Ephesians. The carrying out of that is in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, notice verse 8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have, notice the past tense, that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The doctrine pertaining to it is in Ephesians 4.
What is that? You are to put off the old man. But the practice of it is in Colossians chapter 3. You have put off the old man with his deeds. Therefore, and the deeds are clear. The deeds in Ephesians chapter 4:22 is conversation. There we're to put off the conversation of the old man. What is the conversation with the old man? It's that which is in association with that which took place in the garden. It has to do with lying. It has to do with speaking without knowing what you're talking about. In other words, the tongue no man can tame, the Bible says. We just talk, see, and we can't prove all the time the things that we say. In other words, we say things that we think are scientific and they aren't scientific at all, and we end up later on, we lied about that. We weren't sure about that. Illustration. There are just shelves filled with books, just miles of them, from science that are called science books that held truth for that time that turned out not to be truth at all. In other words, they keep on adding to that and finding that that wasn't really the way it was. This is the way it was. And on and on. In other words, the old man in his nature just dives into the thing and says, well, this is the way it is. Finds out later that wasn't the way it is at all. That's the way the old man is. The new man, he speaks truth. Where is truth? It's in the Word of God. Notice the comparison. Turn over with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and comparing Bible words with Bible words. 2 Timothy 2:15, and I know you could have quoted the passage. Notice verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, then, to speak truth with your neighbor, you must speak the word of God, but that must be rightly divided. Don't you see how that? If you didn't know what you were doing, if you didn't put on the new man, and if you didn't put on the mind of Christ and whatever, that you could speak that which was not true while you preached the word of God? Why, this idea about believing. The devils believe and tremble. Satan was a religious man. Cain was a religious man. And on the thing goes. Why, they say, well, he's a good man, he's religious, and so forth. That doesn't prove a thing. The Bible said, put away lying, speak every man truth. How can you speak truth? Speaking the word of truth, rightly divided, and you speak truth with your neighbor. This has nothing to do necessarily with dealing with a man about a used car or whatever, although that can be involved. In other words, the new man that we're to put on practices that which is associated with God. Notice, God said, let us make man in our image. In other words, the association is that which is God. God speaks the truth. God does not lie. So in that sense, it has to do with everything we do in our walk, day in and day out. And yet, the emphasis is upon the Word of God. For instance, those shelves filled with books give nobody anything. There is no life there. There is no eternity there. Why, look at man. What is man anyway in his mentality? He's nothing. He's reprobate. I was talking to two men yesterday, and these men were giving me a lot of things about, well, I believe in living every day. I mean, day in and day out. I don't care anything about that which is 10 years from now, and on and on. And the man that I was talking to there, I mean, that fella probably, he probably got a high school education, which in his case is probably equivalent to a third grade education. I mean, he talks and acts, and the things that he does proves that, and yet he just blows off hot air, doesn't know what he's talking about. It all came about the condition in the world today, and he doesn't pay any attention to it, he says, which he's lying. He said if he paid attention to that, he'd just be so down and out every day that he wouldn't be able to go to work in the morning, you know. He'd be so blue and so this and that and the other, and so he doesn't pay any attention to it, but he does. And on and on. You know, when I think about all this, I think about the statement, about learning from history. The greatest thing we learn from history is that we never learn from history. And I think about all the millions of men today that are lying in a grave somewhere that had the same attitude as that man did that I talked to yesterday. And they talk about believing, standing up for what they believe in. Well, look at all the millions in the past wars that stood up for what they believed in that are nothing more than dust now after having been riddled by bullets or have their heads cut off or blown to smithereens, and they're planted in a grave somewhere. But they died for what they believed in. What did they believe in? They believed in a world kingdom made by the society of those men in that kingdom. And that's what those books on those shelves that I was talking about are about. They're about a kingdom that Darwin dealt with, and such men as Darwin, that have no truth in them. Where is truth? It's in the word of truth. I was thinking about the other day some things about those people lying in those graves there. And you know, I what brought all this on? I got to thinking about this thing about income tax. And I got to thinking about these people today that are in government who talk about a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people, standing in the graveyard that I used to pass by over in Mobile, a cemetery over there with soldiers buried in it, standing in the middle of that graveyard and screaming about a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And if them fellas laying there in those graves could answer back what they'd say about that. I mean, look at all the thousands that would say, look at me now, torn to smithereens by a bomb. Or those over there in the Pacific that went down when the carrier was hit by the kamikaze and the flight deck just lifted up off of the carrier, and that thing, before they could do anything, went right down to the bottom of the ocean. And all them fellas say, hey, I had nothing to do with this. I was drafted and placed in an army, and nobody asked me if I wanted to go. And they didn't say, we're going to vote to see whether we have a draft. After all, we've got a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we believe it's right to draft men into the service. Therefore, we're going to bring this up for vote. All in favor say aye. All opposed say aye. And on and on. They never asked me that. And how about all the people laying there say, well, they took so much of my money for taxes and whatever, and nobody asked me about that. They never said, are you in favor of this tax law that we're putting out today? And people say, yes, I am. Let's get on with it, and on and on. Do you all understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about speak truth of your neighbor. I'm talking about if you tell people about the kingdom that is built by the societies of men today, you're not going to be speaking truth to your neighbor. You're going to be speaking the lie that began in the Garden of Eden. You can't follow the trend today. You've got a book here. This book declares a kingdom. That's the right kingdom. Tell people about the proper kingdom. Say, well, that's rebellion against the government. Well, fix it however you want to. Speak truth of your neighbor. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 fascinates me in light of some statements that I've heard recently by preachers about preaching Christ. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice the pious attitude of preachers today who talk about preaching Christ as if there was some added value that they use that word, I preach Christ? Say, but that's scriptural. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Sure, it's scriptural. But look what the passage says. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice the Bible said preach the word. It didn't say preach Christ. It said preach the word. There are some people that stand up every Sunday morning and all they do is preach Christ and him crucified and never preach the word.
They never preach the Word of God rightly divided. They never preach any doctrine. Now watch the results. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Come to verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know how men in the faith today, women and children and whatever in the faith, you know how they are saved from apostasy? By believing doctrine. Hence, preach the word. Thy word is truth. Go back with me, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Isn't that fascinating? That those of us today who are very simple as far as the learned of this world are concerned, and yet we've got words within us that astound them, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they cannot understand these words that we understand by the Spirit of God. Look at 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every word of our righteous judgments endureth forever. All right, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth of his neighbor. This is a quotation, by the way. Look in Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. In Zechariah 8, notice verse 16, Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Now this is very amazing. In view of Romans chapter 13. Go to Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13. Now Romans 13 is a favorite passage with some of the preachers today who don't believe in speaking truth to their neighbor. They speak deception with them because they don't rightly divide the word. Look in Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That is, speaking the lie. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. So forth and so on. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Now,
love worketh no ill to his neighbor. A man that does not speak truth with his neighbor, when dealing with his neighbor about the word of God, doesn't love his neighbor. Any man, are you listening? Any man that will deal with his neighbor on the basis of the word of God rightly divided is showing the love of Christ manifest in his heart, as in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, so forth and so on. In other words, if you've got this love in your heart and the mind of Christ in you, then you speak truth with your neighbor. That is, you deal with your neighbor about his condition on the basis of the word of God rightly divided. Hence, you don't do it for personal gain. You do it because of the love of Christ constraining you. And yet the passage says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. How about a man that stands in front of a congregation and preaches love to that congregation out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but won't speak truth with them because that he believes if he does, he'll lose his power over them. Then he's preaching to them for gain. And that's not truth. He's the same thing as the deception that was carried on in the Garden of Eden. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he said, putting away lying, speak every man truth. Lying is association with the old man. It has to do with deception. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. In other words, Adam was in the likeness of God. But when Adam followed Satan's lie, he became like Satan himself. And when we lie, we're like Satan. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Speak truth with your neighbor, putting away lying. What is that? Putting off the old man with his deeds. What is his deeds? It's conversation. How do I know that? I know that because Ephesians 4:22 says that. That's how I know it. In other words, let your conversation be seasoned with salt, be with grace, and so forth. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received, or another gospel, which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him, so forth and so on, that is, put up with it, don't surrender to it. Well, then it's clear. The man today who preaches another Jesus, I don't mean the man that stands in a pulpit and says, I've got another Jesus I want to preach to you. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about by association with the Word of God rightly divided, he preaches another Jesus. He does not preach the Jesus that Paul preached. When Paul preached, Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. The Jesus that this man preaches that I'm talking about has to do with working for your salvation. That is, walking in the footsteps of the Lord of Galilean, the big fisherman, and so forth and so on. And if you endure unto the end, you'll be saved. If you hold out, you'll be saved. Then the other spirit. How about the man in the church in Pensacola, Florida right now that takes people and carries them into a back room and teaches them how to receive another spirit? He's not speaking truth with his neighbor. He's speaking the lie. And then that man who preaches another gospel, Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. It's a serious thing, folks. It's not just something that we yawn about. So what it means is that if I have something to sell, I'm supposed to tell the absolute truth about it. That's what it means, all right. And yet, that don't even touch the surface. What it has to do with a kingdom. That kingdom is God's kingdom. It's not the kingdom that our society has erected in its own deceitful minds. It's God's kingdom, and the only way into that kingdom is by a birth, and the only way to be born again is to be resurrected, and the only way to be resurrected is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that He died for your sins and buried and rose again. Anything other than that is deception. And you can't do that without rightly dividing the word of truth. In 1 Timothy, putting away lying, 1 Timothy, notice verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Well, then, any time you have a woman preacher today, you have the trend of deception that started in the Garden of Eden. Paul said, I don't allow women preachers. Why? Because they're easily deceived, just as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The serpent beguiles them through his subtlety. They're easily deceived. Women do not make good Bible teachers. Now, of course, there are certain things that women are to teach, and there are certain people there to teach. But that is a different thing, totally and completely, than that of Ephesians chapter 4. God gave some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Has nothing to do with that. They're to teach the children. They're to teach the daughters and so forth. And they're to teach them this thought that is in the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right? In Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth of his neighbor, for we're members one of another. How can I put away lying, not follow the deception of the old man in his fallen nature? Not follow my old nature, follow the new. Put off the old, put on the new. How can I speak truth of my neighbor? I can do that by teaching him the word of God rightly divided. I can memorize the scripture. I can give him verses of scripture for that which I believe, but I must make those verses be verses rightly divided. I can't just reach back there out of any passage and memorize a passage and give to it. Illustration. Say, okay, we get into a conversation about prayer. And I say, okay, Jesus Christ said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And I teach him that. I've deceived him. I took the passage out of context back there, I used it out of its context, and I deceived the man into believing that all he's got to do is ask the Lord in Jesus' name, and he's going to get whatever he's asking for if he believes the passage. And yet there have been many a person that have really believed the passage, and they've asked God, believing that passage, and it never came to pass, and in the end, they were downcast, heartbroken, and turned to apostasy because the Lord didn't come through. They had been told that He was, and He didn't. And that's not loving your neighbor as yourself when you do those things. We are members one of another. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation, and that's what we're dealing with. He said, put off the old man. Put off the thing of the conversation, the old man with his deeds. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, the whole thing is that we're members one of another, in that we're united in our belief. Go back to John chapter 17. John 17. In John 17, verse 20. John 17, 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. Verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Well, I know that they are not one person. I know that in Revelation chapter 5, God the Father is seated on the throne, has a book in his hand, God the Son is in the midst out there, walks to the Father, and the Father hands him the book, and the Son takes the book out of his hand. I know they're not one person. Well, then they must be one mind. They must be one mentally, one in belief. All right, we are members one of another by faith. We are members in that which we believe. We are united in faith. One Lord, one faith. Hence, the church is divided today because they're not united in belief. They have heard other gospels and believed other gospels and not believed the word of God rightly divided. Hence, they are not united. He said, speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Implication then is teaching the word of God to those that are members of the body of Christ. I'm to speak truth of those in the body of Christ. That is not to say that I'm to speak something that's untrue to those who are not in the body. That's not the point I'm making. The point is, if we are members one of another, how would I hate the members of the body of which I'm a member? In other words, can my right hand hate my left? And on and on. In other words, if we are members one of another, then shouldn't I love the members in the body? I love the Lord. The Lord loves the body. Then shouldn't, if I put on the new man, shouldn't I love the members in the body? Yes. All right, if I love the members in the body, would I want to deceive them? No. Well, then it all goes back. How can I handle this? Put off the old man with his deeds. Conversation. Put on the new man with his deeds. Conversation. What is it? It's a mentality. Where do I get it? I get it by studying the Word of God, rightly divided. Hence, when I teach the members of the body of Christ, I teach them the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, because I love them. And I don't want them to be deceived. I love the Lord. The Lord loves them. The Lord loves me. We love one another. And on. I don't want to deceive them. Look back in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can you be transformed? By renewing of your mind. But wait a minute. The world has a mind. The mind of this world. The world system. Well, then I'm to be transformed from that way of thinking that this world thinks. They're bringing in the kingdom. They're establishing the kingdom. And whatever. I'm to be transformed by the renewing of my mind that I may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. While we're certainly not all members of the same physical body, we're members spiritually with one another. We're members mentally, spiritually, the mind of Christ, spiritually, one with another. Which brings up a real problem as to whether all believers today are in the body. And I wish I had the answer to that. And I could I mean, we could walk down a rosy path there and take some verses and use those verses and just show that everybody today is not in the body. And yet, turn right around and use some passages that show that everybody is in the body. And I've been wrestling with this for a long, long time now, and I don't have the absolute answer to it. But it sure sometimes looks like everybody ain't in the body, even though they're saved. And I wouldn't say they're not. It looks like they're not by watching what they say, listening to what they say. Yet the Bible said there's one body. Well, maybe the one body is one body separate from some other people who don't believe that which is associated with that body. All right, anyway. Paul said, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, and we'll have to deal with that in another class. The whole thing is that I'm to put off that old nature, which has to do with thinking. It has to do with thoughts. I'm to put off that way of doing things and whatever that I got by birth. I'm to put on the new man, which is a new creation. It's a new mind. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God Almighty gave me a new mind. That new mind is a spirit. Now, it is just like up here, say that this over here is the old man, this over here is the new, and here I am in the middle. That is, here is the flesh. The flesh has to do with a mind. This over here is the spirit. The spirit has to do with a mind. This over here is that which I received by natural birth. It's called the flesh. The flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary, the one to the other. Hence, put off. It doesn't go away. You have to put it off. This doesn't just dominate. You have to put it on. Hence, I'm to put on the spiritual mind, which is a new creation in the image of God. In other words, I've got the image of God mentally in the new man that I am. I'm to put that on. If I have it on, I'll speak the truth of my neighbor. I'm aware of the fact that my neighbor in the context are members of the body of Christ. And in so doing, I love the members of the body of Christ, for I love Christ. Christ is the head of the body, and we're members one of another. Therefore, if I've got the mind of Christ, I will be constrained by the love of Christ to love the members of the body. Hence, I will teach the truth. And you can mark it down. If I know the truth, and I'm not preaching the truth, I'm put off the old man. I'm walking in the flesh. I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And what I'm doing is for gain. And I'm using those that were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ for my own personal gain. And how could you sin more seriously than that? It's a serious thing. Let's take a break right here.